Pfizer pulls back.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The world's largest drug maker says it's scrapping development of its most important experimental medicine. This drug was designed to raise levels of good cholesterol, but increased deaths and heart problems among patients in a late-stage trial forced Pfizer to drop the drug. News of that decision caused the company's shares to fall 12% in Europe early today. Analysts say this decision will probably force Pfizer to slash staff and accelerate merger deals. A final version of a congressional nuclear bill for India should be unveiled this week. It would allow U.S. companies to sell civilian nuclear technology to that country for the first time. The measure would also formally acknowledge India as a nuclear state. President Bush says he'll sign it, but now India seems to be getting cold feet about some concessions in the bill. Miranda Kennedy has details from New Delhi.
The Indian government is especially uneasy about accepting terms of the bill that would require it to help the U.S. confront Iran's nuclear program. So today, U.S. officials are frantically lobbying New Delhi to accept the final version. Tomorrow, representatives of the U.S. nuclear industry will entice India into accepting the deal so they can do business here. Trade Undersecretary Frank Lavin says the nuclear agreement is crucial.
I think we're right to be wary of something until it's at the final stage of completion. So we're going the extra mile to try to build a relationship.
That relationship means billions of dollars to U.S. nuclear companies. Energy-hungry India hasn't been able to scale up its nuclear power plants because it doesn't have access to fuel. Today, the U.S. firm WM Mining said it agreed to sell India 500 tons of uranium a year, but only if the bill becomes law. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
The dollar is trading in a 20-month low against the euro this morning. That weakness is producing many consequences, and Stacey Vanek-Smith reports not all of them are bad.
The greenback isn't exactly in the pink of health these days. Alex Buslin is a senior market analyst with Roush International. He says the cooling U.S. economy has many guessing the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates in coming months, so investors aren't as quick to buy dollars as they once were. But he says don't expect policymakers to take action to prop up the weakening currency.
The Bush administration, of course, has been paying lip service to the strong dollar, saying that it is in country's interest that the dollar stay strong. But reading between the lines, it's quite clear that the administration is amenable to an orderly dollar decline.
Buslin says that's because a lower dollar will help shrink the U.S. trade deficit. It makes American goods cheaper overseas. But he warns a weak dollar could hurt the U.S. current accounts deficit. Our economy relies on investors using greenbacks as a safe haven. Anything that shakes their confidence in the dollar could spell trouble. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
There's news of a stock swap merger in the financial services business this morning. Bank of New York and Pittsburgh-based Mellon Financial have announced a deal to create what they say will be the world's largest security servicing and asset management firm. Weak manufacturing and construction indicators had Wall Street in the dumps on Friday. As a result, the Dow fell 27 points to 12,194. The Nasdaq lost 18 points to 2413. And this is Marketplace. Customers at drive-thrus at some Wendy's across the country might be surprised to find out just where that voice on the speaker is coming from. Cheryl Rich-Kern reports.
More than a dozen Wendy's in four states are using technology to free restaurant staff from the logistics of drive-thru orders. Now when drivers pull up to those big outdoor menus, their orders are routed to operators at call centers miles away. Wendy's is using technology patented by the Massachusetts company Exit 41. Joseph Gagnon is CEO. He says a call center in New Hampshire handles orders from customers as far away as Florida and California.
Today they may process 80 cars in an hour during lunch. With our solution, 120 cars, 140 cars in an hour.
Other chains like Burger King and Panda Express are also experimenting with the technology. I'm Cheryl Rich-Kern for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book on HR contributions to business success, SHRM.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Today, Major League Baseball owners will gather for their winter meeting in Orlando, Florida. Over the years, baseball teams in cities like Detroit, Cleveland, and Seattle have gotten financial support from citizens. Taxpayers in those cities have chipped in for the cost of building state-of-the-art stadiums. Pro football teams have also benefited from the public's generosity. But now, some taxpayers seem to be saying enough is enough. Amy Radel reports from Seattle, where the NBA Supersonics might be too late in getting public help for a new facility.
This election year, Sacramento voted down a sales tax to fund a new arena. Pasadena voted down a proposal to negotiate with the NFL. And Seattle voters blocked the city from granting any new subsidies to professional sports teams. Seattle residents are still paying off their baseball and football stadiums through a countywide restaurant tax. When asked to foot the bill for a third arena, they got mad.
This has been going on for about 15 years. And the pigs come back to the trough one too many times in the major cities.
Chris Van Dyke heads the anti-subsidy group Citizens for More Important Things, which he says includes schools and health care. Van Dyke had a crucial ally to pass the initiative. A nursing home workers union financed most of the $60,000 campaign. Van Dyke says the nursing home workers shared his indignation that the Sonics Arena was just remodeled 11 years ago.
They know damn good and well that it would be wonderful if we could rebuild every nursing home in Washington State every 11 years. But they also knew it would be an unconscionable waste.
The Seattle measure passed with nearly 75% support, but that didn't end the debate. State Senator Margarita Prentice is a fan of professional sports and chairs the Senate Ways and Means Committee. She says Seattle voters are ignoring the ripple effect of sports teams on regional businesses.
This just brings an incredible amount of commerce. First of all, having just sort of a complete roster of teams here.
Sonics fans are worried the team may leave the region, but the team owners say they hope to build a new arena nearby in the Seattle suburbs. Brenta says she expects to sponsor a revised stadium proposal at the state legislature in January.
I don't think they're going. I think there's a very strong possibility that they'll stay.
If there's a new arena proposal, the state could extend the restaurant tax that Seattle residents are already paying, despite the ballot measure. Activist Van Dyke says his reaction to that is outrage.
Not only are you imposing a tax that they voted 75% against, you're imposing that tax now to construct a facility outside the city itself.
Van Dyke and his union allies say if the state funds a stadium without putting it to a public vote, they'll be out gathering signatures for a referendum before the ink is dry. In Seattle, I'm Amy Radel from Marketplace.
If you're on the move, take us with you. You can do that because we're podcasting. You can find out more by visiting our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Money goes in.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.